Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll see how Minnesota's cybersecurity team is helping you, and we'll discover a new treatment for PTSD. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Across the state, unemployment is a challenge, but it's a particular challenge for returning service members who have been out of the job market for the last year while serving our nation and state while on a deployment. Why hire today's veterans? I'll tell you why. Service members know how to be part of a team. They perform under pressure and are conscious of health and safety standards. They are instilled with values you can't find in everyone, like duty, honor, integrity, and respect. Returning veterans today are highly trained, well-educated, and experienced leaders. They are driven and will be the next generation of leaders for our state. So how do you find these strong employees that will bring value to your company or organizations? The Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development has a website, minnesotaworks.net. Employers, post your job announcement on the minnesotaworks.net and label it veteran friendly. For additional information on hiring today's veterans, contact your local workforce center.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota National Guard is Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak and Chief Warrant Officer John Pelto. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Colonel Pasternak, I'd like to start with you. I understand that you are the Cyber Response Coordinator for the Minnesota National Guard.
Yes, I am.
Sounds like a pretty important position, sir.
Well, it does sound important. It's a developing process that we're going through, trying to get the Minnesota Guard better prepared to respond in case of a cyber attack or emergency. And particularly, our main effort is to be able to support agency partners within the state in the event of an all-hazards response or a cybersecurity event.
Colonel, can you tell us, share with us a little bit of information on your military, how long you've been in the service?
Over 17 years. So I was commissioned in 1996, and I served 5 years on active duty in Fort Hood and Fort Benning and also Fort Polk, Louisiana. And during that time, I was deployed to Bosnia in 1999. And then for the last 13 years, I've been in the Minnesota National Guard full time. I served in assignments up in Brainerd at Camp Ripley, down in Bloomington, deployed to Iraq in 2005 as a company commander, and then again as a staff officer in 2012 to Kuwait.
Sounds like a pretty good start, sir.
It's been a good run.
Chief John Pelto, how long have you been in the military?
Tom, it's been about 21 years for me. Combination of active duty time of about 4 years and been in the Minnesota National Guard since.
And what's your position now with regards to cybersecurity?
I'm a computer network defense technician, part of the computer network defense team. And it focuses in computer emergency response, incident handling, and overall defensive operations for our entire computer network.
Chief Pelto, I bet in the last 21 years you've seen a lot of change in IT, in our technology, over that those 2 decades.
It's been quite a wild ride, Tom.
And are we on top of it?
We can hope so for now.
We can hope so. I know that you've been to a lot of classes, and I see that you've got a lot of certifications, but one of them is Certified Ethical Hacker. Can you tell me what that means?
Well, it's kind of a strange blend, but the Certified Ethical Hacking and Countermeasures is something that the Department of Defense embraced within the last few years, and part of that, the concept is to so that the administrators and the defenders of our networks understand what our adversaries are up to and have a better understanding of how we can protect and stay on top of our game.
Colonel, when I was in the Air National Guard back in the mid-70s, we didn't have too much to worry about. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. We didn't have any of the technology we have today. But during your service and the chief's service, things have come a long way and things have changed and there's computers everywhere. How do you keep them all safe?
Well, we have an enormous amount of things that we do within the Minnesota National Guard. We actually run and operate our own network, and we have people like Chief Pelto who are dedicated full-time to implementing access control measures and information assurance measures to make sure that our own network is safe and secure. And then with our interagency partners within the state, we can help provide recommendations, general practices that we find are effective with our network and provide assistance to them should they need it. But at all of our other agencies within Minnesota state government, we have the Minnesota Information Technology Office that's responsible for Minnesota state government networks. And we've established a partnership with them a lot of it is about the exchange of information. And with anything, if you look throughout history, with any developing technology, any would-be enemy or adversary is going to find a way to capitalize on that. And cyber is no different. As the technology has exploded and developed, then whether it's a nation state or a would-be terrorist organization or even cyber criminals, they're trying to find ways to take advantage of the technology to use that against us, to get information, to steal things. And so it's a constant effort on our part to continually react, counter, and develop measures to protect our network and those of our other partners.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak and Chief Warrant Officer John Pelto on Minnesota Military Radio. And our topic today has been cybersecurity in the Minnesota National Guard. Chief, I would guess that you're going to school constantly and you're studying information that's going to be passed around from state to state and probably from the Pentagon about what's happened and what hackers are doing. And, you know, it's a shame people try to break into systems, but you're kind of hanging out there. And if those hackers want to go after you, you're a challenge, aren't you?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things about information systems. Everything that makes our life easy and convenient introduces another level of risk, which is always challenging to stay on top of. But it's part of the thing, the big picture that the Department of Defense and here in the state of Minnesota, we take pretty seriously about being able to leverage the new and emerging technologies, but reduce the risk so that...
So you're always on guard and always watching for the next new thing.
Absolutely, yes.
Colonel, I would guess that while you're busy protecting the Minnesota National Guard and watching out for cyber attacks, all of the soldiers and airmen in the Minnesota National Guard are learning how to protect not only the guard, but themselves at home.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that as we've continued to develop our practices, we've identified and started to put more additional emphasis on. Is what are the actions of our average traditional soldier and airman in their day-to-day lives, in their own personal homes, and then what actions would they need to take in order to be able to respond? Because as we look at cyber, our main focus with the Minnesota National Guard is as that would relate to an all-hazards response type of an event. You know, if we lost power due to some actions of a cyber attack or a cyber criminal, if you had some sort of mass outage of power, if the stoplight traffic lights don't work, or those things, and then you get into a situation at to what point does our average traditional National Guard soldier or airman need to respond in some capacity.
So, Chief, as part of what you do with the cybersecurity team, does that involve training the rest of the Minnesota National Guard on periodic updates on what to watch out for and some of those items?
Absolutely, Tom. That's one of the major components to our daily operations is managing a training and certification program, and it goes all the way down to everyone that has a login on our computer systems. So
Colonel, it doesn't matter. Every time I have on an officer or warrant officer or a sergeant from the Minnesota National Guard, I keep hearing about training. It's ongoing all the time, isn't it?
That's part of being in the Army, Tom, or the Air Force. You know, everything we do is in training. Even in a combat zone, we're continually training to get better, to refine our processes and make us more capable of accomplishing the mission.
And for our guardsmen and women that only serve on the weekends and aren't full-time in the Guard, when they come back to their civilian employers, that makes them better employees too, doesn't it?
Yes, Tom, it works both ways. And I've seen that both in a combat zone. I've seen that here at home. You know, a better guardsman and a better employee and it works both ways. The skills that they learn in their civilian job, they bring to the Guard and help them be better soldiers and airmen. And then the skills that they learn in the military, they can take and help in their civilian life as well.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about cybersecurity with the Minnesota National Guard. We've been talking to Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak and Chief Warrant Officer John Pelto on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak and Chief Warrant Officer John Pelto, and we're talking about cybersecurity. Colonel Pasternak, I understand that earlier this year that there was a cybersecurity exercise up at Camp Ripley. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, Tom. In January of 2013, we had put together an exercise up at the new Emergency Management Training Center that has been built at Camp Ripley. And we wanted to center an exercise, which we called a tabletop exercise, which is a discussion of a hypothetical scenario. And we wanted to have that related around cyber. So what we did is we put that together, and then we invited a lot of the other agency partners around the state, Department of Public Safety, numerous county and local emergency managers, other members of the emergency response community came up to Camp Ripley with us. And we had a day where we spent the first morning working on just some kind of education and update to get everyone familiar. And then the afternoon we worked through a scenario. In that particular scenario, we talked about a circumstance of events that could happen related to cyber where you might have a loss of communication in a metro area like downtown St. Paul, and then how a response to that could go, and then at what point would and how would the National Guard respond to that and assist other agencies, what capacities, and a lot of sharing of information, and then helping us to identify where we have gaps in our communications with our interagency partners and in those relationships that we have in order to ultimately overcome a challenge like that and protect the public.
So, Colonel, was that an exercise to determine which agency had primary responsibility and maybe who had control of that problem in terms of management and supervision?
I think that became part of it, where anytime we have these interactions between agencies, a lot of times those processes are well established and in place, but they may not be understood by the whole audience. So how that process goes between a county sheriff who would have an initial response, have an initial incident commander, and then how a request would go up and utilizing all the different state agencies, and then at to which point would you have the Minnesota National Guard called in order to help?
So part of that's a question of determining which of these agencies might be able to help with the problem and in what priority you'd try to use them?
Absolutely. And we find that, you know, one of the great things we have in our country is when you have incidents, when you have a hurricane, a tornado, you have all kinds of people who run to the fight and are trying to help. What helps, though, is for us to do exercises like we did last January, helps us to understand the better process and flow of all of those people and resources that could be brought to bear on whatever that challenge may be.
And Colonel, I would guess the side benefit of having everyone together to run through that exercise is you meet in person, you exchange business cards, you've got a good Rolodex, you know who they are and how to contact them, and you've done business with them.
Absolutely.
Makes it a lot easier to pull them together, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Sounds a little bit like the annual preparedness for the flooding up in Fargo, because there's a lot of organizations that pull together to try to figure out and introduce each other and figure out who's responsible for what. And since we do that every year, they can react together and act together better than if they hadn't done that exercise.
Absolutely, Tom.
Chief, I want to come to you. A few weeks ago, we had on one of the officers from the Minnesota National Guard talking about our state partner, Croatia. And I understand that you've done some training with them as well.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. It's kind of new in the last 2 years that we've started having a cybersecurity connection with the Croatians. They are part of one of the NATO partner nations. And I've had the honor of going two different occasions over there, myself and another warrant officer, Chief Orr. It's also on our computer network defense team. And we've gone and met with the Croatian staff. They're basically also embracing the cybersecurity and building a network defense capability within their forces as well. So we sat and gotten together and done some brainstorming and familiarization on various parts of building a strong defensive operation, both in personnel and in network defense tactics as well.
So you've traveled there a few times to work with them?
Two times thus far. So we're working on a joint training venture this year, where hopefully there'll be some Croatians coming to some of the Army Guard training facilities as well. And we'll have a joint trip back to Croatia again this year to further enhance their abilities.
It was interesting to learn when they were on the show a few weeks ago that the Minnesota National Guard was instrumental in helping Croatia's military get up to speed so that they could become a member of NATO, and then recently to also become a member of the EU. And it must be rewarding for you and all of us in the Minnesota National Guard that are involved in that to help that country step up to that level after they emerged as a new country.
Absolutely. It's really an honor. There's a lot of sharp folks they've got in their staff, and a very rewarding experience.
Colonel, we keep reading every day about the emerging cyber threat, and businesses and individuals, myself, my firm, we're always wondering about who's going to hack into this, who's going to hack into that. I get a simple solution every once in a while in my business. I just turn off the computers. Nobody's going to bother me. It's not very realistic for the Minnesota National Guard. You must have learned a lot of things as part of the cybersecurity team, not only to help our guardsmen and women, but to pass it along to civilians. That's got to be pretty rewarding for you, too.
Yeah, it is, Tom. What I would say is, as we talk about this emerging cyber threat, like I mentioned, you know, that can be anything from as large scale as a nation state. We talk about whether or not China or Iran has hacked into government systems, or you're talking about terrorist groups, but you're also talking about the criminal element trying to, steal people's passwords, identity theft, all of that. I mean, it all fits under cyber, and it all impacts all of us because we are now in that technology age. You can turn your computer off, but like you said, you know, it's not realistic. It's not practical. What we need to do is we need to be able to operate within that and then understand that. And so what we've done as we look at that is we realize that there are folks out there that want to say, this isn't an issue, don't worry about it. And then there are folks on the other side of that that want to say the sky is falling and everything is, it's a doomsday scenario. And, the truth of the matter is it's somewhere in the middle. You know, there is an absolute legitimate and real threat. There are simple things that each person should take, steps that they should take for their own, protection of their own information. And then also there are those things you should also think of in terms of cyber as far as an all hazards type of a scenario. Just like in the winter when you have an emergency kit in your trunk of your car. What things could the average person think about of having some sort of a kit or of something in their home? Or some sort of process that they would take if, for some reason, due to a cyber event or otherwise, they lost all ability to communicate with the outside world. The cell phone didn't work, your home phone didn't work, computer didn't work, and your lights aren't on. So, we want people to be aware. We want people to be, to understand that there is a threat and to give some thought into where they fit into that.
Chief, we're running out of time, but it seems to me that it's relatively achievable to determine the past cyber threats and be ready for those. But how do you imagine what's the next big thing that nobody's heard of? It's got to keep you awake at night, doesn't it?
It's there's never a dull moment with that. Like you say, any time that there's a new technology introduced, there's absolutely somebody working to crack it as soon as possible before it even reaches the consumers. So yeah, one must stay vigilant, and some of the things that, folks can do at home, stay current with antivirus programs, look into applications before you install them and read the pop-ups. Don't just click them to get rid of them, but install your system patches and just try and make yourself a harder target. That's it's virtually impossible to make yourself unobtainable to be hacked if you're going to be in a networked situation. So the best you can do is harden your defenses and don't be a soft target.
Colonel, we're just about out of time, but for those listeners out there that are involved in IT, is the Minnesota National Guard looking for some good young men and women?
We are all the time, Tom. And anyone interested could call 1-800-GO-GUARD or get on the internet and search Minnesota National Guard, and we will can also contact your local recruiter if that's something that you're interested in. But we absolutely we have great experts. We're always looking for more. And the Army in total, along with Minnesota National Guard and also the Air Force and Air National Guard, are looking to expand cyber capability. And in the near future, we're possibly will actually grow cyber units within the state. And we would certainly be looking for great people to put on the uniform and help us out.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. It was Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternik and Chief Warrant Officer John Pelto from the Minnesota National Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Chaplain Buddy Wynn, full-time support chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard. Every year on the fourth Thursday in November, from one end of America to the other, families will pull away from TV parades and football games and gather around long tables for a feast. And many, out of a sense of tradition, will even offer up a weak prayer of thanks to God. But how many of us will stop to truly thank the one who gives us our very breath for all he's done? There's something very powerful and very important in thanking God for the good things we enjoy. It puts things in perspective, and perhaps that's why sacred text exhorts us to have a heart of thanksgiving. Please join me in making this event a true day of thanksgiving.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to discuss a new treatment for PTSD. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, we are gearing up for a new state veterans cemetery in Fillmore County. Last month, we announced the completion of a land transfer for this new cemetery. The 160-acre site has been donated by Fillmore County and is located just off Highway 52 in Preston, Minnesota. This fall, Minnesota was also awarded a $10 million construction grant from the Federal Cemetery Administration. Construction for this cemetery is scheduled to be completed by the end of 2014. This will be the second state cemetery in Minnesota. We are very pleased to expand burial service to veterans in southeast Minnesota, where more than 50,000 veterans live. Often, burial is the only benefits our veterans claim. This generous land donation by Fillmore County was the first step toward completing the new cemetery and honoring our heroes.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about a new therapy for our veterans called EMDR therapy are Elaine Wynn and Courtney Amundson. Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Elaine, can you tell me a little bit about your background? How did you get into a position where you could help our veterans with some therapy?
Yes. Well, I've been a therapist for a number of years, but about 18 years ago, I trained in EMDR therapy, and it's a very effective and efficient kind of therapy. I knew it to be very well with any kind of trauma, and it has been researched and worked on in terms of military and veteran traumatic memory. So I contacted Trauma Recovery, which is our parent organization in Connecticut, and was able to get part of a grant. And we started last January. We spent several months getting it set up. And I'm also a wife of a Vietnam era veteran. So I was very concerned about what we could offer to veterans.
So you happen to be from my era, or your husband does. You look much younger than that. And so you've been an eco psychologist and the wife of a Vietnam veteran for many years.
Well, I'm an EMDR therapist. It's okay. Courtney here's the...
Okay, I thought you had a similar background, but let's get over to Courtney. Courtney says here that you are an eco psychologist. Can you tell me what that is?
Sure. I study the relationship between humans and nature and how our environments affect us, and the lack of relationship with nature, how that has a negative impact on humans.
And you served in the United States Air Force.
I did. I did 4 years active duty in the Air Force down in Tucson, Arizona at Davis-Monthan.
Well, it's fun to have a fellow airman in the studio. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to the question of the day. We've talked about it several times or mentioned it, EMDR therapy. What is that? What does it stand for, and what is it?
It stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. And that really is about using eye movement, or in some cases just holding hands with a tapper, to activate both sides of the brain as you are processing. And the processing that goes on takes something that was disturbing and helps you to shift it into something that's manageable.
So, Elaine, you said holding hands with a tapper.
Yeah.
What's a tapper?
Well, it's like a buzz. It's almost like a biofeedback piece of equipment, and it just goes tap, tap, back and forth, one left side, right side, left side, right side.
So it's monitoring the person that you're speaking with.
Yeah, well, it's very calming, and as the eye movement may be used also, the eye movement is kind of like REM sleep, you know, the part of sleep that we're told is very healing.
And refreshing.
And refreshing, yes.
So EMDR therapy, who does that help?
Well, it can help anyone with any kind of difficult life situation or trauma of any kind. And so if you've got memories or experiences that are bothering you, you might be having sleep issues or dramatic dreams, those kinds of things. Well, that can be very well easily processed with EMDR.
So when we're talking about our veterans, and let's talk about Vietnam veterans for a minute, since mm-hmm. I'm one and your husband was one. When I came back, mm-hmm. loud noises sometimes made me jump or hit the deck.
Yeah.
And sometimes smells and sounds remind me of things in Vietnam. Does this therapy help you deal with that somehow?
Yes, it does. And I like to call those things automatic responses. They just come up unpredictably, but they give you some idea of something that's still troubling to you. And you can then process that with the therapist helps by coaching you through this, what would help you to process that and bring it into more logical, historical memory in your brain.
We're speaking with Elaine Nguyen and Courtney Amundson about the EMDR therapy on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Courtney, you have what's called now a Veterans Resilience Project, and your website's veteransresilientproject.com, which we'll have a link to on our Facebook page for Minnesota Military Radio. What is the project? How did it start? And what are you trying to accomplish?
Well, Elaine had a large part in getting the project started. Trauma recovery also played a large part in it. They gave us a grant to start offering the care at no charge to the veterans. So we offer 10 sessions of therapy at no cost, and then 2 with family members, because as you and Elaine had mentioned, that it definitely affects other people, not just the veteran. So we have 17 or 25 therapists in 17 locations throughout Minnesota where we offer the therapy. So if a veteran calls up or gets in touch with me, I can direct them to the closest therapist, whichever one's in their area, and set up the appointment. And it doesn't matter if you don't have insurance, we take care of it. If they want to use insurance, that's an option as well, but it's not necessary.
So, Elaine, does this have to do with how our brains store traumatic events or information about things that have happened to us?
It seems that traumatic events kind of separate the information from the rest of the processing in the brain. And that's all we're doing. And that's what resilience does. And it will happen in some cases over time. But this is a way to do it a little faster and allow a person to have a higher quality of life sooner.
So you talk about reprocessing the event. Does that mean you're retraining the brain when these triggers cause you to think about things?
What usually happens is you get probably an incorrect idea about something. Here would be an example. If your buddy was killed in battle, you might think, well, it's my fault. Or you might think, I should do something about this. And if I stay more upset about it, then I can really let people know that this actually happened. It's, you know, our brains do unusual things. And so we kind of help that negative belief that has gotten set up shift over to a more positive one, a more comfortable one, and probably a more true one.
So you're changing the link that might trigger the memory.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes back anyway, do you just keep working on it?
You can, but usually we try to clear pretty well everything that's there that's associated to that particular event.
So, Courtney, you talked about 10 sessions for the veteran and two more for the family. I assume that means when you said the family's effective, if I wake up screaming from a bad nightmare from the war, that might affect my wife a little bit, huh?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
How long are the sessions and how do they work?
The sessions are usually an hour, but we're not stuck on any sort of time length and even the 10 sessions. You know, we're not really stuck on that. The client and the therapist will develop a little bit of a relationship, and whenever they're comfortable, they'll go into the EMDR therapy and continue to work on it throughout however long of a process it needs to be for them. So everybody's a little different.
These are one-on-one sessions?
Yes, definitely. It's a one-on-one session.
And you talk about the things that are triggering memories or causing problems for the veteran?
You do. You bring up those memories. I think one of the important factors about EMDR is you don't have to come back to that memory repetitively. A lot of times with in other therapeutic methods, we're bringing that memory up again and again. And with EMDR, it's just not necessary because you process that memory, hopefully, that first, through one session. But sometimes it takes more of it.
Okay. Ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the VeteransResilienceProject.com. We're speaking with Elaine Nguyen and Courtney Amundson on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Elaine Nguyen and Courtney Amundson about the VeteransResilienceProject.com, where they're providing therapy for our veterans called EMDR therapy. And Elaine, one more time, what does EMDR stand for?
Yes, it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
And this is for our veterans who have some kind of issues that are like PTSD issues?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be full-blown, just symptoms of that, and also anxiety, depression, kinds of things that came from their service or military service.
And who's eligible for this treatment?
Any branch of service who served after 2001.
And they contact you by going to VeteransResilienceProject.com when they can find a link to that on our Facebook page for Minnesota Military Radio. Anything else about the therapy? Who knows about the therapy when it happens?
Who knows about it? It's completely confidential. No one.
And anything else you want to tell our veterans about the therapy? And did you say this is free?
No charge.
Mm-hmm. There's no charge. There's no homework. It's completely confidential, like you said. And I think one of the best points is that for most of the veterans I've spoken to, it helps with sleep. That's one of the, maybe not necessarily, but that's one of the best parts of it, I think, for a lot of veterans.
Can't get a good night's sleep. You're not in very good shape the next
day. Mm-hmm.
Now, how are you funded if this is free for the veterans?
We have a grant through Trauma Recovery. It was specifically set up for veterans, and I was able to bring it here to Minnesota at the beginning of the year. And I had a veteran committee, OEF, OIF veterans, Vietnam veterans, and EMDR therapist, and they kind of advised me on how to set it up.
Very good. Good work, Elaine. Mm-hmm. Courtney, we've been kind of surrounding this whole issue. Have you got an example of a veteran that you've helped, something where we can understand what the problem was and how the therapy worked?
Yes, definitely. I was just speaking with a gentleman. He was in the Army. He deployed to Iraq, and he had some traumatic memories, and he did EMDR for – he went through the program, and I'll just read what he wrote and talked about when we did an interview. He said, "My relationships are getting better. My anger is controlled. Generally, I can credit EMDR with saving my life. It restored my motivation, and my depression is mainly gone. I have a different outlook on things, and I don't dwell on things anymore. I accept things, and I have more happiness in my life." So it was really great to hear that.
Elaine, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm. It really is. To see those changes that can happen. I worked with one briefly where a recent event, an accident, a family accident, reminded someone of Iraq. And that was processed through, and you know, the idea that I should have been there was changed to, I was there. I bought those safe seats in the car, and I trained my boy to really jump in and help out when something went on, and I was there.
Very good. Courtney, we're running out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about your program, VeteransResilienceProject.com?
No, if you want to get in touch, and even if you just have questions, you can get in contact with me, and I can answer any questions anybody has on the project.
So any veterans that have any issues related to their service to the country, they want to come in and get this free therapy on a one-on-one basis, might help them move on with their life and see what other exciting things there are out there for
them. Yes, definitely. Yeah. We currently, the grant only covers post 9/11, but we would love to, you know, any other veteran that wants to get the services, we can point them in the right direction as well.
Yeah, and that's female and male veterans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly hope so, Elaine.
Yeah.
Elaine, we're almost out of time. Any final thoughts about your project?
Well, just that our main need is to get the word out. We're not a big buck organization. We don't have a lot of money for marketing and PR. We really appreciate coming here so that we can get the word out to people and to families that this is available.
Ladies, we're glad you joined us today. Thanks for joining us at Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
There's Elaine Wynn and Courtney Amundson from the VeteransResilienceProject.com. There'll be a link to that on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook website. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Can you, Tim, bring us up to date? What are you and your Patriot Guard riders up to lately?
Well, we still have the missions out there that we need to go to for the fallen heroes, and all of our military are fallen heroes.
It doesn't slow down. You just keep on going.
It doesn't slow down. All we have to do is make sure everybody dresses a little warmer.
Well, now we're getting to the time of the year where you don't always go on your motorcycles, do you?
Yeah, well, nope, we come in our cages.
And for those that don't know, that'd be a car or a pick-em-up truck.
That's for sure.
and dress warm.
Dress very warm. You're not moving around a lot, so you got to keep your body heat in. So you got to make sure you have the proper gloves, mittens, hat, coat, boots.
And we're in the holiday season coming up on Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays. Any special events coming
up? Yes, we do. This in December, we'll start doing the Wreaths Across America, where we place wreaths at the military sites and like Fort Snelling and some of the state cemeteries across the state.
And Tim, for those of us that maybe haven't heard you and I talk, we've been on the radio a lot. Who's eligible to become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Anybody's eligible. In fact, we're always looking for good people. And even if you're just come to a mission and you decide that's something you really want to do, we also look for leadership, people that can actually run missions and take care, make arrangements for everybody and take care of the flag line at the mission. So if you're interested in that, just step up to the local person that's in charge of that mission and tell them you're interested.
And Tim, you have riders all over the state.
We do. We have about 6,000 on our mailing list.
You know, and more of them are able to hear Minnesota Military Radio now. We're on 18 stations today. And as of January 4th, 2014, we're adding a new station in Laverne. It's going to be KQAD 800 AM. And you've been to Luverne, haven't
you? Luverne, yes. We have a VA home in Luverne that the Patriot Guard attends periodically and visits, and we do bingos down there, and it's very interesting to meet and greet some of these veterans that are living there.
So next time you go down there, you better stop by the station and tell them thanks for joining the Minnesota Military Radio Network.
Absolutely.
Tim, we've talked about eligibility. All your folks really need to be a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider is a pole and a flag and a good heart.
Yes.
And it's all about what?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
And you guys do a fantastic job. You go to departure ceremonies. You go to welcome home ceremonies for our service members and their families. And I want you guys to be careful this winter. Dress warm. We don't want anybody to get hurt.
That's right.
Tim, thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Look forward to having you back soon.
It's an honor.
From the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, that was Tim Leonhard. Saturday, December 7th, marks the 72nd anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. The 1941 raid was a defining moment in U.S. history. The Pearl Harbor Survivors Association and the Fort Snelling Memorial Rifle Squad will host a remembrance at 10 a.m. on December 7th to honor those who served and remember those who gave their lives in the defense of Pearl Harbor. The event will include a continental breakfast, rifle salute, and new this year, a group of local World War II historical reenactors dressed in military uniforms from that era. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information. That's Saturday, December 7th at 10 a.m. at the State Veterans Service Building. For more information, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasternak, Chief Warrant Officer John Pelto, Elaine Wynn and Courtney Amundson, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet a Minnesotan who helped pick up the pieces after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and survived Iwo Jima. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.